Welcome to the Friday, January 20th episode of Briefings with Butts. This is our 19th episode of the 2022-2023 school year. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, Superintendent of the Metropolitan School District of Wayne Township. We hope that this weekly podcast is a way for staff to stay informed, connected, and most importantly, celebrated. First, I'd like to congratulate this week's trivia winner, Heather Schultz, who is a reading specialist at Stoutfield Elementary School. Congratulations, Heather. Ms. Schultz wins a Jeans Day for herself and her team at Stoutfield Elementary School. Let's go ahead and jump right in. It has been another amazing week in Wayne Township. I'd like to congratulate our boys Ben Davis High School basketball team for winning the Marion County Tournament for the first time since 1995 this past Saturday. Also, Coach Don Carlisle slid into the top five for all-time boys basketball coaching wins with his 84th win. Congratulations to Coach Carlisle. Also, I had the pleasure to see our wrestling team bring home a win against Plainfield on senior night this week. It was also the alumni night, and the turnout was absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of our seniors and to our alumnus of the wrestling team in Ben Davis High School for making it an enjoyable evening. Congratulations to the Lyndhurst 7th and 8th grade center on hosting a successful robotics tournament last Saturday, and to all of our participating schools. Thanks to all who gave their time to create an incredible learning experience for our students and our community. Also, Lyndhurst 7th and 8th grade center welcomed 6th graders this week for tours, which were led by students, and the opportunity to learn more about life as a 7th grader. Those visits will continue to happen at Chapel Hill in February. And this past Thursday, I started my day in the car rider line before our school board visit at Bridgeport Elementary School. I had the privilege to visit one of our classrooms, Mr. Eisel's classroom, actually, and talk to our students about working with students who do not communicate the way they do. Sometimes when we think about different languages, we think about languages like Spanish, which is our second most spoken language, or French, or any other. But in this case, it was sign language. Two of the students were hearing impaired, and our students in the class had learned how to sign. I'm looking forward to next Monday before I mentor in our host program to visiting Mr. Eisel's class again and watching the students do the Pledge of Allegiance in sign language. It's inspiring to see the amazing work that's happening in our buildings and our classrooms. Speaking of amazing work, this week we are excited to be hosting and would like to welcome Dr. David Marcotte, Executive Director of the Indiana Urban Schools Association. Welcome, Dr. Marcotte.
Thank you, Dr. Butts. Great to be here. You know, once a giant, always a giant.
I'm glad that you brought that up. You have a history with Wayne Township, but you have a long career that spans not only before your involvement here in Wayne, but also afterwards. Would you just give our audience a little bit of a taste about your career as an educator and how Wayne played a part in that?
Absolutely. It's hard to believe, but I am in my 40th year of education, and the majority of my career, however, was spent right here in Wayne Township. In 2001, I was fortunate to be named the principal of Ben Davis High School. I moved over to the Education Center in 2006 in the Personnel Department, served as the Chief Personnel Director until 2013, then became the Superintendent in Mooresville, and retired in 2017. Since that time, actually beginning in 2018, I've had the privilege of serving as the Executive Director of the Indiana Urban Schools Association.
Now, some of our listeners may also know your wife.
That's exactly right. My wife is Sherry Marcotte. She just recently retired about a year ago or so as the director of the elementary program here in Wayne Township. And she told me to tell everybody hello.
Excellent. And I know she continues to mentor young leaders through CISC and has stayed very active. I mentioned that this past Thursday we had the chance to visit Bridgeport Elementary School, a school that Sherry actually opened in 2004.
She did.
What was interesting is there are still 18 staff members that were there when the building opened in 2004, almost 19 years ago. That's hard to believe.
That is hard to believe. That says a lot. She hired good people.
She did.
And
she
good,
did.
And good people stay. And just a quick shout out to my colleagues at Ben Davis High School. I know that it's been a while, and there's been quite a turnover. But for those that remain, just wanted to say hello.
Well, we also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that you and your family, your wife, are residents of Wayne Township as well, and have been for quite some time. And so you have a vested interest, not only with the Urban Schools Association that you're now the executive director of, but still with the MSD of Wayne Township and Wayne Township in general.
We are passionate. Sherry and I are both very, very passionate about urban education, about Wayne Township. Wayne Township was good to us. We enjoy living here, and we're both working very hard to continue to promote what's going on in Wayne Township, and especially the advantages and benefits of urban education.
Yeah.
If I may just quickly explain who the Indiana Urban Schools Association is.
I was going to ask you about that. I think if I recall, MSD of Wayne was one of the inaugural members of the Urban Schools Association. So who do you represent, and what's the organization all about?
We are an organization of 37 members throughout the entire state of Indiana, concentrated in Marion County, Lake County, St. Joe, Elkhart County. But we have member districts from all over the state, including Fort Wayne, Evansville, Richmond, Terre Haute, Monroe County, Logansport. And we just had two recent members join us. Jeffersonville, down on the Ohio River, across from Louisville. That's the first time that area of the state's been represented in our organization. And River Forest, up in Lake County. Of those 37 members, I call ourselves small but mighty. You know, there are 300 traditional public school districts in the state of Indiana. We are 37, but we represent over one-third of the entire public school enrollment.
So let's not glance over that. There's about 1.2 million students in public schools in Indiana. One-third of those are represented by urban districts in the Indiana Urban Schools Association.
About 350,000. That's correct. And about 65% of the non-English-speaking children in Indiana are in one of those 37 districts.
I would also guess that a fairly high percentage of poverty.
Yes, people ask, legislators downtown ask a lot of what does it mean to be a member of the Urban Schools Association, because people think automatically that it's the large city districts in our state, which of course they are our members. But we have some smaller districts as well, including places like Lake Station in Lake County, River Forest in Lake County, Speedway here in Marion County, which are rather small districts. But the common characteristics of an Urban Schools Association member is a high community poverty, higher than average enrollment in special education, higher average enrollment of English language learners. And one category that I continue to educate legislators on is high mobility, where you have students coming and going, and research shows that if a student stays with you, here in Wayne or IPS or regardless, it doesn't matter, if they stay with you, they're going to learn and achieve and succeed. But we have a significant number of students, as you know, Dr. Butts, who are in their fifth, sixth, seventh school system, and research also shows that those children struggled to learn just as much as if it were high poverty.
So you mentioned the State House, and I want to get to that in a minute. But before we do, you're talking about students that are very complex. And I know that's been a big topic in our state, is what is a complex student? What does that look like? And how much does it cost to educate a complex student? And so you have worked very closely with other entities, other organizations here in the state, and with our General Assembly members to talk about what that looks like for funding for schools across the state that not only are urban schools, but anyone that has what we would deem to be a complex student. Obviously, we've been a part of that. We've had the privilege to be involved in some of those conversations as the MSD of Wayne Township, and have supported this work. But can you tell us a little bit about what Indiana Urban Schools Association is doing in the area of complexity?
Absolutely. Complexity is the additional amount of money that schools receive in tuition support to educate children of poverty. And when I say children of poverty, the complexity index is based upon a complexity number, which is created by families who enroll in TANF and SNAP. Those are the federal and state programs that old timers like me used to call welfare and food stamps. So there's a cutoff date of October 1st prior to the biennium where the budget is created, which was October 1st of 2022, just a few months ago. And the number of families that attend, that their children attend Wayne Township schools or any school in the state of Indiana, that complexity index is now locked in, which equates to a complexity grant, which again is the additional money that's provided in tuition support to educate those children.
And so TANF and SNAP, why not free and reduced rates? Why not free and reduced lunch like we have? I mean, we all know what that looks like. It happens every year because of the need to feed children and textbook rental. But that's not utilized.
It's not. Back in 2015, it used to be based on free and reduced lunch. But that was changed. And it was changed to what is called now direct certification, which means enrollment in TANF and SNAP. School districts get informed as to who is enrolled, and that number then creates the additional amount of money. But it used to be based on free and reduced. And we have a statistic in a report that we had contracted through Policy Analytics that shows that there is a 65% difference between your free and reduced lunch rate and your complexity rate, which equates to a significant loss of dollars. So that's one of the issues that we talk a lot about at the State House with legislators is this direct certification problem, a process that it needs to be modernized.
So we've seen funding go down for the complexity index, yet we've not seen poverty decrease. So what is the corollary between the reduction of the complexity index and the increase in poverty? Where's the disconnect?
Well, the disconnect is an intentionality of the folks who create the budget to provide addition. I know this is getting into the weeds a little bit about funding, but they have a philosophy, they meaning legislators who create the budget, their philosophy is to increase the foundation amount, which goes to all schools in Indiana. And that has gone up. Tuition support since 2015 has gone up $1.4 billion in that time period, mainly in the foundation grant, which is the amount of money everyone receives. Wayne Township, Carmel, Gary, Evansville, it's the same amount of money. Their philosophy is to increase that part of the tuition support formula more than the complexity grant. But we continue to have to educate our legislators with a very simple question, and that is, why does it cost more money to educate poor children? And those of us who work with poor children know it just takes more people. It's as simple as that. You have more people involved. You have more teachers to try and lower class sizes. You have paraprofessionals to assist teachers in classes. You have higher than average special education. You have a significant number of English language learners. You can't put English language learners in a classroom of 30. It does. So when you have them in a classroom of 5 or 6, that costs money. And that's a big part of my job down at the State House is to educate legislators to answer that very simple question. Why does it cost more money to educate poor children? And I really encourage everyone who's listening to this podcast, whether you are a school board member, a teacher, a support staff member, even a community member who happens to be tuning into this podcast, that any chance that they get to explain to our legislators why it costs more money to educate children in Wayne Township than in some of our suburban districts, it's because we need more people to support our children. It's a very simple answer to a very simple question. But the irony of it is I have to continue to explain to folks, not necessarily here in Marion County, they're tuned in. Mm-hmm. Our legislators here who represent Wayne are terrific. They're terrific legislators. They're not the ones that need to be convinced. They're the ones that are in the outskirts mm-hmm. of the state between legislators who represent communities between our urban areas. They're the ones that we need to continue to talk to about why districts who have a high complexity, like a Wayne Township, like an IPS, like a Speedway, why those districts need more money. And it's to educate, it's to hire more people mm-hmm. to educate children who need the support.
So is there a solution? Is there a fix? Where are we in those discussions with those that are in charge of the budget process?
Yeah, report that we had done with Policy Analytics, we've exposed quite a bit of problems with the current process called direct certification, and which creates a complexity index. And so we're making some good progress on how we can make some changes. In fact, our very own J.D. Ford, Senator Ford, who represents half of the northern half of Wayne Township, and over in a little bit of Boone and a little bit of Hamilton County, he's proposing that we attach the complexity index like we do ADM with two count dates. We are very supportive of that because locking in the complexity index one time for the entire 2-year biennium, I just don't understand why it's done that way. So we are making suggestions. There's also been some disconnect between the FSSA, the organization in the state that handles TANF and SNAP, and the Department of Education, because they're, believe it or not, their computer systems don't talk to each other accurately. Mm. So one of the reasons that we've discovered, in fact, really through you, Dr. Butts, and your former food service director, Sarah Gazarowski, really helped us show legislators that there could be a misspelling, there could be a missing hyphen, there could be whatever reason that there is a difference between an application for TANF and SNAP and what's on an STN number at the DOE. Mm-hmm. When that happened, it kicked out students. And as you know, in Marion County alone, it kicked out about 7,000 students out of the complexity index. That's why we are passionate about this topic. That's why the Urban Schools Association has taken this on as one of our projects. In fact, I've had comments from the folks at the Department of Education who are very impressed that the superintendents in the Urban Schools Association probably are the only group who truly understands the difference between complexity and free and reduced lunch, because they started to give me a tutorial on it, and they started from the very beginning, and I politely interrupted them, and I said, we already know all this. We know how this works, so you don't have to explain that to us. But the Department of Education has been very good to work with. They want to fix it. Believe it or not, they told me 2 weeks ago that they now have a 96% correlation between applications in TANF and SNAP and our new complexity, which will come out here as soon as the new budget is presented in a few months. And I said to them, if you're correct, if you're telling me 96%, that's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And they said, we guarantee it. And I said, good.
Well, on behalf of MSD of Wayne Township and the other members of the Urban Schools Association, just want to thank you, Dr. Markout, for your work on that. It's been multiple years. This has been a long term. It's been a slow process, but it's been one that you have continued to meet with those who are willing to have those conversations. And what I think has been great to see is that number has increased. It started with a very small number of legislators, and it has grown. More and more people are realizing we have a problem. There's an issue with the formula. There's an issue with the calculation. 7,000 children not being captured by direct certification is a lot of money. And there's a lot of children who have the opportunity, or should have the opportunity, for more services that are not getting them. So Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. And just yesterday, I met with some very key members who are involved in developing the budget, and they are listening. I was very pleased yesterday with some of the comments that I've heard back from key legislators. They understand the issue, not only with the complexity index, but there's been a gap in funding with special education, with English language learners. They have told me they're committed to rectify that. I'm shooting for the moon and saying special education alone is $122 million gap. And they said, well, how much do you need? I said, $122 million. And they just looked at me like, what? Yeah, that's what we need. So it's getting some good conversation, and I think we're making some good progress.
Excellent. Want to shift gears just for a second here. We know you've mentioned a couple times being at the State House, and one of the responsibilities you have taken on as the executive director of the Urban Schools Association is to be at the State House to talk to our legislators, to advocate on behalf of your membership, our membership, the students who are in the MSD of Wayne Township, to make sure that our voice is being heard and that legislators know where we stand on these issues. And so you work with several of the other state associations that we have the privilege to be involved with, including School Board Association, Superintendents Association, school business officials, even ISTA and others, with as much of a collective voice as possible. I'm hoping that, because we're early in the session, we're just a couple weeks in, I'd love to have you back as we get kind of to the midterm, which will be later in March, to talk about where we are on some of the bills. Want to thank you for continuing to keep us updated as a membership, and I forward those links on to our school employees and to everyone who is involved in our district. Matter of fact, there'll be a link in this podcast for those individuals who might need to reference that again. But looking at the bills that have been introduced currently and some of the testimony that's already been given and already been heard, what bills do our staff, do our teachers, and any listeners really need to be paying attention to right now in the session? We know there's a lot of discussion that's going to happen. We're going to see a lot of changes happening with the introduced bills. But what do we need to look at and pay attention to right now?
There are two bills that teachers and support staff and our community members need to be aware of. The first one is Senate Bill 305, and that is the introduction of the Education Scholarship Account Program. This is basically the increase in vouchers. The ESAs were created 2 years ago, which were only available to special education students who withdrew from public school. And there was an income level, which was pretty liberal. It was 300% of the poverty rate, which is about $150,000 for a family of four. I call that pretty liberal. And they would be eligible for this scholarship that they can use to pay for the education of their child if they were not wanting to have them stay in the public school system. Now, the way the system works is that it's paid through the treasurer of the state's office through only approved vendors. You can't just have your brother or your son teaching your children. That wouldn't be approved. But there could be a neighbor. There could be a group. There could be a homeschool. It could be anything that if it's an approved vendor, they provide the service, and then it gets approved, and those folks get paid. Now, the key to that is that it was capped at a 90% of a full voucher amount, and it had a $10 million cap. We were just told yesterday that only 137 students took advantage of that. It would equal about $7,500. So that is way below the cap amount that was created. What this new bill does, Senate Bill 305, essentially takes the cap off. Now there is no income level needed. It's 100%, and it's available to any student in the state of Indiana, not just special education. So what this will do, parents who are using vouchers to the tune, last number I heard is about $240 million a year, and they're receiving vouchers at 90%, if this passes, why wouldn't they not take a voucher and go with an ESA at 100%, and there's no income cap? Well, there is on a voucher. I know this is getting a little bit complicated, but essentially what I'm saying is that, Katie, bar the door. This is the introduction of just an unabated, wide-open voucher system that's similar to the state of Arizona, which, by the way, is experiencing lots of different fraud. I'm not accusing Indiana of that, because I think Indiana has done a better job of setting parameters and guardrails around how you use the program. But this is going to cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars, and it will have a very detrimental impact on public education, which, by the way, 90% of the students in Indiana are educated through a traditional K-12 public school system. Mm-hmm. And so if this bill passes, it'll have a significant negative impact on funding.
Senate side is Senate Bill 305. What about the House?
Well, the House introduced a bill somewhat similar, a very, very complicated bill. House Bill 1002, 86 pages long. And
there's that many things wrong that we need to correct?
This bill creates what they're calling a career scholarship account.
Okay.
Essentially, it's the same concept as an ESA. This is where families can take a scholarship money and use it toward CTE education outside of the school. And they can use it for internships. They can use it for it's a very complicated bill. Even the author of the bill stood up and couldn't answer some of the questions. But bottom line is, this program would have a significant detrimental impact on the state budget, just continuing to whittle away monies available for the traditional K-12 program. So my testimony was focusing on the gap in funding that we have currently in our special ed and our ELL programs, that we need to fix that before we start introducing other ways to educate children. Now, we know Indiana is a choice state, and it's a parent choice is the term, and the supermajority is absolutely convinced that parent choice is the way we should go in Indiana. And I personally, in IUSA, doesn't have a problem with parent choice. Parents should have choices. But it's at the detriment of our current system where 90% of the children attend, like Wayne Township. So
choice can be funded, just not at the detriment of public schools. Don't take it away. Right. Find another way to. And we have a huge surplus right now in the state, and so there's lots of opportunities. Well, David, those are two of hundreds of bills that have been introduced. Again, would love to have you back to talk more about those as we learn more in committees and as the bills start to shift over to the other side of the state house and get debated by one of the other houses there with the Senate bills going to the House and the House going to the Senate. We always ask our guests, and would love to know more about, because we know you're going to be knee-deep at the state house for a little while. When you're not at the state house, when you're not doing urban schools work, what do you like to do?
I like to do what most people do. I love getting outside. Sherry and I love to go out to restaurants. We do a lot of traveling. I have a granddaughter in North Carolina, so we've been there twice in the last month. We enjoy biking, walking, playing with our dog, just hanging out in the neighborhood, hanging out at home.
So our other question usually is, where's your favorite place on earth? Sounds like it might be North Carolina right now.
It sure can be. Granddaughter just turned two.
That's amazing.
Her name's Harper, and she's beautiful.
That's amazing. Dr. Marcotte, Executive Director of the Indiana Urban Schools Association, thank you so much for being our guest this week. We look forward to having you back and staying in touch with the happenings down at the Indiana State House as the Indiana General Assembly is working through the long session, a budget session that we know could have significant impact on the future of public education in the state of Indiana. Thank you for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Coming up, we are proud to partner with Valic to offer a retirement workshop on Thursday, January the 26th, next Thursday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. This will be in the Community Room 1, or CC1, located at Ben Davis University High School. In this seminar, there's several things you'll learn, but mostly about Indiana State Teachers' Retirement, Social Security, 403Bs and other retirement accounts, bridging the possible income gap. You don't have to be a Valic client in order to join and participate. We do encourage individuals to bring other members of their household or others that are helping them to make these decisions, and you don't have to be close to retirement to attend. This is really to help people to plan, to learn more about it. Matter of fact, just this week, I met with one of our Valic reps, Todd Biebrick, to continue to monitor and talk about my own future and preparing for my own future. So make sure to join this Thursday, January 26th. There was an email that went out from Dr. Suggs. There also will be a link in this podcast in order for you to sign up for those benefits. Mark your calendars for the 2023 Wayne Winter Games and Giant Health Fair, Saturday, March 11th. Plenty of time to continue those New Year's resolutions. Will happen from 9:30 until noon as you prepare. We're so excited to be back in person for this health and fitness event. If you're interested in putting together a team for this year's event, there is also a link in this week's Briefings with Butts Parent Square message for you to learn more. As you know, we are in the process of developing our next strategic plan. Next week, our steering and planning teams will be meeting, and it's important that we hear from all of you to guide the work we'll be doing. This past week, actually on Wednesday, you should have received an email from me. It's a Google form and also is linked to today's Parent Square message. You have until Sunday evening at midnight to complete it. Take about 10 to 15 minutes. We really do want your input. So please, please, if you have just 10 to 15 minutes, make sure to click on that Google form link and provide your feedback as we get ready to move into this next phase of our strategic plan. Coming up, as a reminder, February is Black History Month. We do look forward to sharing opportunities and resources with you in an upcoming episode as we prepare for Black History Month this upcoming February. And as we have mentioned in this podcast, and we'll continue to bring up and to update you as we move forward, things are ramping up at the State House. We want to make sure that you encourage you to stay informed and make sure that you're engaged. One of the great things about our employee community is there are many, many legislators that are represented by our employees because we have people that live throughout the central Indiana area. So we've linked a resource to help you track these bills, again, from IUSA, so make sure to check that out in this Parent Square message. Well, that's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest on what's happening in the MSD of Wayne Township. Before we wrap up this episode, I want to once again end with a quote from John Lewis. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? Thank you for the impact you make each and every day. And remember, I am Wayne. You are Wayne. We are Wayne. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.